That's the sound of bees and planes. Both can be heard standing amongst Doug Purdy's beehives on the roof of his small Darlinghurst townhouse in the middle of Sydney, where I asked Doug, how bad is the bee problem?
Look, it's a massive problem, and people just aren't aware of it. You know, here in Australia, we're lucky our bees are really healthy, and that means we're sort of insulated from the problem. But overseas, I mean, in America, I think in April, they lost 40% of their bee populations. That's 40%. The numbers are huge of bee losses around the world.
What are the biggest threats to the bee population?
Well, there's two things. There's a thing called the varroa mite, and varroa is all around the world. Australia's the only continent without it. And there's a thing called colony collapse disorder. And colony collapse disorder, we don't understand. It's probably related to habitat loss and insecticides, but no one really understands what causes it.
So you run an organisation called the Urban Beehive. What's the aim of your organisation?
Well, we like to say we bring pollinators back into the city, and we do a whole heap of things. We've got about 100 beehives spread across the city in different locations. We run training courses. We teach people how to be beekeepers and sell beekeeping equipment, all aimed with educating people about why bees are good, and maybe a few of them become beekeepers along the way.
Where do the bees come from?
We catch swarms, so there's lots of swarms that happen in the city, and often they're exterminated. So in spring we run around collecting as many swarms as we can, and those are what populate most of the beehives.
And how do you catch a swarm of bees?
Oh, look, it's ridiculously easy. You know, a swarm of bees is the most passive time for them. They haven't got a home to defend, so they're just hanging off a tree somewhere, and we get phone calls and go along with a box and basically sort of shake the bees into it. It's really easy.
Is it practical to own bees in urban environments?
Oh, yeah, look, absolutely. People have been doing it forever, you know. I mean, if you go to places like Paris, the Paris Opera's had bees for over 40 years, so it's not a new idea. It's just new to some people around Sydney.
Are there any council regulations or restrictions?
Look, only a couple of councils. I recently heard that Cogra Council's introduced the law that says you can't have beehives within 9 metres of a house, which is a bit bonkers, really. I can't understand why they're doing that. Other than that, a couple of other councils, but generally, no, councils have got no regulations.
Is it a reasonable concern, you know, in regards to bee allergies and that kind of thing?
Oh, look, no. I mean, everybody thinks that they're allergic to bees, but it's like 0.01% of the population. I read a report somewhere that said that it's you've got more chance of dying from a lightning strike or being struck by lightning twice than you have of dying from a bee sting. So it's incredibly rare.
And how do you go with your neighbours?
Oh, my neighbours are pretty good. One of them gets a bit funny every now and again, and I've seen him try to spray the bees as they fly back to the beehive. But generally speaking, neighbours aren't even aware that there's hives here.
I've just arrived in Stanmore, a suburb in Sydney's inner west, to speak with backyard beekeeper David Jay about his 70,000-odd bees he's had for the last 3 years.
I get stung from time to time, mostly because when I open the hive, I'm a little bit lazy to put on protective gear. My daughter's been stung twice, I think, and my partner's never been stung. So, I mean, the likelihood of being stung, I think, is proportional to how deliberately close you get to the bees and perhaps how incautiously you conduct yourself.
How do your neighbours feel about the bees?
No complaints. I've got a elderly Greek lady on one side who's, you know, the Greeks are well known for being avid beekeepers, so she's happy. And my neighbours on the other side were a little concerned because they got a new dog at one stage, but he settled in well, so no problems.
And you harvest honey from the bees?
Yes, I harvest honey probably 2 or 3 times a year and probably get about, I don't know, 25 kilos out of one hive.
And you get wax as well?
Yes, I extract the wax and use it. I do things like make lip balm, soap, and I've tried making candles without much success.
And how much upkeep does a bee require?
The type of hive that I have is a low intervention hive, so I probably really only open it, strictly speaking, when necessary. So occasionally I'll do an inspection for pests and to take honey out, but otherwise the philosophy of the type of hive I have, which is a ware, is don't open it without necessity.
And would you recommend to other people to own bees in a city?
Look, for me it's a very satisfying hobby. I think it's probably not for everyone in the sense that you have to have a robust attitude to being stung. But really, as a hobby, it's quite, once you've set it up, it's pretty simple. It's very satisfying. Last year, I took the effort to put my honey in the Royal Easter Show. Didn't get a prize, but, you know, that's fun. It's a fun thing to do.
Finally, I asked Doug Purdy, how many beekeepers would it take to solve the bee crisis?
Well, look, every beekeeper helps, but, I mean, you're not going to save the world having one beehive, but it's just important for people to think about bees, you know, and think about what they're spraying and what they're planting, and those things will make a massive difference.